What's up, everybody? Welcome to my podcast, Sunder, and we have
what up?
And Tom, what's up? How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. You?
It's good to see you, man.
Good to see you too, man. Let's do this.
Yeah. So, can you tell us about yourself a little bit so people would know you and like what do you do and
right.
Like what are your studies and all that? Giving us some introduction to people.
Okay. Hello everybody. My name is Toms. Currently living in Nice and working in association with people with Down syndrome. Had a bachelor's degree in psychology. Have been living here for 3 years and happy to be here.
That's interesting, actually. You work with the Down syndrome people.
Yeah.
What do you do exactly?
Well, I do a lot of administrative things, like paperwork or whatever, and then also participate in art therapy sessions, individual sessions as well. What else? Also organize events for people with Down syndrome, like.
What kind of events, like?
We usually just go out just to see the city, just to make it, just like to socialize and like to bring the social aspect as well to their lives a bit more.
That's perfect. How many people do you have
there? Like during the events or in the association?
In the association, like the classes, are they like adults? Are they like kids or like?
Well, we
how
actually
does it work?
Yeah, we actually have two. Well, it's divided in two. We have 50 to 70 people in the children's group, and then
so it's a big association. Like
yeah,
it's
pretty big. Yeah.
It's a big institution.
They have headquarters. They have headquarters all over France. So we have our in Nice. Then we also have in Paris. So basically all over France. So
that's
it's
interesting.
A big association.
And you said you do art therapy as well.
What
do you do exactly in art therapy? I'm interested.
What did we do the last session? Well, considering the fact that they are not as advanced as the regular people because they have this handicap, the main objective in any therapy session for them is to maintain already the connaissance. The knowledge that they already had. Sorry, sometimes I'm gonna incorporate some French words.
Multilingual person here.
Bilingual
here. More than bilingual, you speak. You speak your language.
Four languages.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
What else? Like you speak? You speak Latvian.
Latvian.
English.
And
what else?
I understand a bit Russian as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But back to the point. What I was saying. Normally, well, considering that they like the main objective is to maintain the knowledge that they already have. We usually during the art therapy sessions just provide them with, for example, the last time we did a piece of geometrical figures, like to
draw like geometrical
figures. To reinforce, and then like we gave them a sheet like with triangles, circles, all different types of geometrical figures, and then at first we kind of led them to try them on the different paper.
Did they have to copy it or something like that?
Copy them. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then afterwards, the following like exercise was to make a human form out of them.
Oh, from the
geometrical
figures.
Interesting.
Okay.
And that was one of the sessions. Yeah, sometimes we just like let them do whatever they want and fucking to see like the individuality of every one of like the single person that is
like
there.
Everybody is different, like giving a different perspective with the geometrical like figures and all that.
Yeah,
drawing something different.
Yeah, and it's also like it strongly depends also on their handicap. which, for example, we have some people with Down syndrome. We have some people also with autism and some more severe neurodevelopmental.
Neurological, like neurological problems.
Yeah. And then,
neurological disorders.
Exactly. And, it's just interesting to see, like what's the level of knowledge from, like, for every individual. Because we have this one guy who is a bit more into the mental deficit, if I can say it like that. And then he just, like, draws little spirals on the piece of paper. But, like...
Is it crazy like mine?
Yours is fucking awesome, man.
No. I mean, it's...
What are they actually?
These are just... sorry, guys. You probably wouldn't see it, but I have some doodles around
here.
No,
we're
going to
put some pictures on there.
I have some doodles around here. Like, you see, I have this... I've done this ball as well myself, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have this idea of, like, repetition and, like, forms and... That's it. It just goes on in my mind, and that's it. I like to repeat stuff.
Yeah.
On the paper for some reason. Anyway, let's get out of me. I'll just rag here. So you've monitor all these people.
Yeah.
With this mental disorders.
Yeah.
And then you teach them. You teaching them, or you see how would they react to the environment? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it something that like on the art trippy, you're not really trying to teach them something. Do you know what I mean?
You're just trying to get
something out of them.
It's more like a free expression.
Free expression is like a...
Well,
art
sometimes
trippy. How does it help, like, as a psychology, like, point of view? How does this help exactly? Can you tell me that?
For example, the art therapy helps to regulate their own emotions, because we have, for example, we have this patient. Well, not patient, but like, I will say patient. Patient X that has autism, for example, and then considering that I've been working at the association like for 6 months now. It's a good thing that you can see, like, the development of every individual that you have there. And for example, for her, when I arrived, I started in October last year. When I arrived, I just saw that, like, she was, like, all the time, she was really, really nervous if some of the professionals weren't on time, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, I will try to explain
the
situation.
The class?
Yeah. Well, okay. For example, if we have like art therapy session at like 3 or like 2:30, she's gonna arrive a bit like earlier, and then if the other professional besides me that's also working with them is not gonna be on time,
mm-hmm.
she's gonna start to get like really nervous and like have like small panic attacks and like. And then,
does this? I didn't get what. What was her disorder?
Autism.
Autism.
Yeah.
Can you tell us like what exactly is autism? Like,
yeah.
Can you describe it? Like, what does it happen to the? Do we know what does happen to the mind of the person that who has autism?
Well, it's usually. They're like, I will try to explain it from more physical perspective that you can see what you can see when you are next to a person with autism, for example.
Okay.
One of the main things are obviously the emotional perception, and then also like some type of emotional like closeness. Like they're like really close to themselves, but for example, in this specific patient, she's really actually interesting, because obviously, autism and Down syndrome, they're like different mental disorders, but every single mental disorder usually comes with something attached to it as well. And that's why we usually can see as well that like people who have the same mental disorder, in this case Down syndrome. Well, sorry, no, I'm talking about the patient with autism. Like, you can see the different level of like deficits, for example, mm-hmm. learning.
So they're like different, each.
Yeah, because
each person with autism is like different than the other one, definitely.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And then, because usually, you know, like in society, I know that like people who don't work in psychological domain usually consider all people with autism, they can put it in like all people that have autism in the same box. Mm-hmm. They don't see the individuality between them as well.
Of course.
And then that's also like really interesting. And in this particular case, because we don't only like do our therapy sessions, we also do like soutien scolaire, which is when you help people to, for example, do their homework. But in this case, we just like do some language exercises, math exercises, mm-hmm. And why this case is particularly interesting is that when I first started working with her, I didn't quite understand what was like the thing attached to her autism. But in this case,
what do you mean the thing attached to her autism?
Well, because usually, as I said before, a lot of mental disorders usually come with something to attach them, like another much minor mental disorder as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So autism is kind of related to another type of deficit, like in the mind or something like
that? Yeah, well, no, it's not every single case, but most of the mental handicaps that we have in the world are usually connected to some other type of deficit that mm-hmm. they have. Like, for example, in this case, when you ask a person, like when I asked her to do simple math exercises like 5 plus 5 or 6 plus 6 or 36 plus 36, at first I didn't understand why did she do that, but she was repeating every sequence like over and over and over again, like 5 times at least, and then she arrived at the correct answer.
What do you mean the sequence following?
Like,
the sequence?
Like, for example, if you give an exercise to sum up 5 plus 5, she's gonna repeat that phrase that you said.
Five plus five,
at least a couple of times, but then she will arrive at the correct answer.
Okay.
And that was like really interesting to see that, because at first I was like, well, maybe she doesn't have the capacity to like to do this kind of math equation, for example. But at the same time,
she was perfect with it.
Yeah, she just arrived at the end. She gave out the correct response, and that's also one of the things that shows you that like every single mental disorder is different. Because, for example, we have another person that has also autism, but for him, he doesn't have the same sequence of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
He can like pretty much easily do like simple math equations, just like the perception of the other, because in general, like autism, like as a mental disorder, is that you don't have like the perception of others around you. You're like really close to yourself, and that's why also
close to yourself, like having a good relationship with yourself.
And not in that way. It's more like you just like closed up. You don't like,
oh, like you have the barriers. You put your walls like too high.
It's more about like the social perception of others around you, because it's also interesting how they like with years of practice, for example, with other therapy sessions as well, they have like developed some coping mechanisms. Like, for example, this girl that I've been talking about, Usually when she arrives and goes away from the association after the therapy sessions, she puts her like earphones in, like in her ears, puts on the glasses, puts on
some caps,
and then she just goes off, and that's like also like an interesting thing, because it just shows that how much you like in her perspective, how much she tries to isolate herself, like to hide all the visage, like face features, face, yeah. yeah, and then yeah, that's just, yeah, it's amazing.
Do we know why, what is the reason for the isolation?
I think it has to do something, well, obviously it has to do something with the brain, but I'm not sure if I would be able to like to explain it to more detail.
But do you have sessions that you talk to each other, like how they feel about the world around them?
Yeah, I do, but that's a different as well, different person, because I'm working with adults, and I'm also working like one time a week with a psychologist beside me as well. We go to a school and we talk with children who have Down syndrome as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that's also interesting, because when we go to school, obviously it's also a different environment, and the environment changes everything.
Of course.
Like, for example, you can go like out and just, you know, talk on the street, but you can also go and then and talk with the person that is in need of a therapy or whatever, and the conversation, and the conversation is going to be completely different in the different environments. That's what I'm
absolutely to say. Of course. I mean, yeah. The environment that you're in, like,
yeah,
it's a big factor in the conversation, like how deep or like how superficial you talk about
stuff. Yeah, that's true.
Like how comfortable you are.
Yeah, and then coming back to the story about the little girl that we take care of in the school. Yeah, that's also, well, what I wanted to say is this, like, usually like the perception about people with Down syndrome is also like with a lot of prejudices and then the stereotypes, and but when you go on with the therapy with them and you work with them, you can see that they have their own like inner world inside their head as well. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a huge stereotype about people who, well, in our society, I must say, I think we like to put on like people in different boxes,
unfortunately,
and divide them in like different categories, like based on their handicap in this case, for example.
Of course.
But yeah, honestly, I forgot the question. What was the question?
But like, my question was like, actually, that if this isolation that we're talking about,
yeah,
that these people experience,
yeah,
is this because of the situation that us as a society put them in, that,
yeah,
they feel isolated because we treat them differently?
Yeah.
Is that the source of the isolation?
Yeah, I must say it's one of the biggest sources of that, because I recently did a presentation of like on explaining like this situation in our society, because let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, they were completely isolated from our, like, from the regular society. All the people with like mental handicaps, mental disorders, they were completely isolated, and we as a society, we didn't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then time went by, and then we started to like identify them and see them. Oh, okay, they're different,
but they're different than the normal society that we created for ourselves.
Yeah. We started to like differentiate them, but at the same time, they were still like closed in the box. We didn't integrate them in our society. We just created centers for them so they can like work with their own handicap in their own place. But like
we just divided them.
Just left kind of. them out of our society still, even by like identifying them. And then the third step was segregation, which is in French segregation. I don't know if it's a word in English as well.
Segregation?
Yeah,
it is. It is a word.
But
in
yeah,
English.
But yeah, but
like a separation, you mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then we started to like create establishments to like include them more, because obviously society is also developing and evolving, like when the time goes by. And yeah, that was the third step, when we like had identified them and then started like creating adapted environments for them, but they're still weren't in the same classroom as normal kids, for example.
But my question is that, like,
it is society mostly.
Yeah, but the another question arises for me in my mind is that, like, what is, like, what does the autistic person cannot do that a normal person can do? Normal person, of course, like, who says we are normal?
Yeah.
Right?
Because we're all fucked up. I mean,
it's not about that. It's just like the majority. It doesn't mean that because we are the majority, we are normal.
Yeah.
Because that's absolutely completely absurd.
Yeah.
You know, it's total
horseshit. Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, like, what is it about them? Is it just because how they act or how they react to the environment we separate them? Or is it because they have some limited mental capacity and we were like, oh, like, that's not enough for the society?
I must say it's partially both of them, because if we take the first example of what you said about their reaction to certain environments, they also have like different reaction to stuff. They don't like their perception is also different from the person who's without like a mental disorder, which is called autism as well. Like, for example, they perceive things differently, and I think there was a study about like also the aspect of empathy in people with autism, and they completely don't have it. Also, another
they don't have empathetic passive.
Well, the way they don't usually have like capacity to be very empathetic.
Is that the fact?
I think so. Let me check. I'll see. Let's see. 1 second.
Is it like 100%? 100% like sure that autistic people that they cannot like have empathy for other people?
Let me check. Let's see. Yeah, well, I just found a study that like many studies shown that autistic individuals are characterized by deficits in cognitive empathy, recognizing other person's mental states, along intact emotional or affective empathy, responding to another person's mental states with the appropriate emotion. As I said, it's like they don't have the capacity to recognize other people's emotions, and the capacity is much more less than for a regular person. And that's that was the first point that you mentioned, that like this, that was it about environment, or the second one was about the environment? Yeah, you said the first one was about the reaction. Yeah, so it basically explains that like we kind of separated them obviously because of their compartment and their reaction to our environment that we have created, which is in some way it's kind of fucked up, because it doesn't like create all inclusive society. We kind of
I mean the ridiculous part of it is that like we created a society that even sometimes, oh God, like people, normal people wouldn't even function in it.
Yeah.
Because we have this competitive, like, ambitious, like, fight or flight, you know, like society.
That Goggins, like, mall. Goggins, mall.
Everybody is like on fucking dopamine all the time.
Yeah,
and like
trying
to achieve something in life.
Yeah. And that was the first thing. And the second thing that you said before was the... So first thing was the reaction. The second thing was what environment, or what did you say?
Yeah, I mean, the question that I had is that, like, is this like this isolation? I just want to understand that if this isolation has to do anything with the society itself, and it's not only them that it like feels this, like it's not like a incapability of their mind that they feel isolated. Yeah. They just feel isolated because they feel different, and that the differentiation is like very obvious in a society because other people like look at them differently. Mm. And you feel isolated when you feel like when other people like treat you differently.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When you cannot have friends because when you have a friend and like you have a certain like, you know, or a different reaction to that person.
Yeah.
And then they feel like attacked, or like, I don't know, they feel like uncomfortable because that's not the way that they've grown, or like they're not that it's in the tradition that like react this way, and then they feel isolated. Or is it just because they're isolated because they want to be isolated? Like this is the way of the, you know, the mind.
Yeah.
That they want to be isolated. Do you see my point?
Yeah. Like,
or
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So
is this something caused by the society, or is it caused by the mental incapability of the person?
Mm.
Do we have any like studies or any idea about this?
Well, environment is crucial as well. The environment in this case is crucial as well, because as you said, us as well as people without mental disorders, we perceive them in a different light, in a different way. Obviously that's gonna have a huge impact on how they're gonna feel about themselves, because usually, you know, it's so interesting that usually people, well, I must say usually, but I don't know if it's in the 100% of the time, but usually when you have a mental disorder and you like go and do things in your life, mostly in hospitals,
mm-hmm.
obviously that at some point you're gonna feel that
like something is wrong or something.
Yeah,
like
well maybe not that something is wrong, but that like other people is constantly treating you differently. They're like trying to treat you, and then you're like starting to understand, I am different and I might have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And
I also see now that they're inseparable if you think about it, like the environment and the mind of the person, they're like inseparable if you think about it, you know.
Because
when you have an environment that tells you you're different, you're gonna feel different. When you have a mind that you feel different, the environment is going to become different as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you feel isolated because of the, even if you're a normal person, and you feel isolated because you have an opinion that like it's not like popular, and it's not accepted by everybody,
mm-hmm.
then you will go to the society with that opinion, and like people will be like, oh, you're different.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Then
yeah,
you feel. Yeah. I'm just pointing out that maybe it's not actually like. We cannot really blame society or blame the person. It's like they are like they're related to each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's spontaneously like connected with each other. So
yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, but it's really interesting that I am really interested to talk to someone with autism, like have a relationship, as a person to see who they are. Because, I'm interested. Like, I have never seen a person. I'm, like, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Not in a sense that, like, they are different again.
I just want
to see them. Like, what is it about them that all the people, like, we just separate them, we put them aside next to the, like, on the margin of the society, and they're like, I'm not trying to criticize society about this. I'm just
fuck society.
I'm just trying to understand. It's really interesting. Like, you it have is. This job actually.
Yeah.
Like with the Down syndrome people and like, the autism well. People.
Yeah.
It's super interesting, right?
Yeah.
It should be interesting.
Yeah.
Like you probably have different approaches. Like they have different approaches to life and like.
Completely, yeah.
And then, like, they see the world differently, and like, it's super fun to actually have a conversation with them. Like, how do you see life? Or, like, what do you think about like this, or what do you think about that? You know, what do you think about like government, for example?
What do you think
about fucking Trump?
Yeah. I will ask the question next week.
How did this asshole become a president of the United States?
That's all messed up, man. But that's a different discussion.
No, but I'm just pointing out. I mean, whatever. Like, is he an asshole or is he not? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
just,
who he is. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like. You know, it's interesting to like see a different point of view of someone. I'm pretty sure they have the same they have the same problem as we do, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously,
they probably anxious as we are.
Yeah,
they probably stress as we are.
Yeah,
they probably like thinking about the future, about their like relationships, and like thinking about like the careers that they're gonna make, or like all this like. Stuff that we build around ourselves that like we need to do this or do that
to have a good life
yeah, exactly. Like they probably have the same problems,
maybe
like superficially they're different, but I don't think they should be that different with the concerns that they have in their mind like as we do.
Yeah, maybe it's also the problem, like the capacity to treat the problems that you have, like for example. Obviously, that with autism, we know that there's also some like modifications that happen in the brain as well, and like considering the fact that like every autistic person is a bit further or closer on the spectrum, because it's a spectrum as well. There's a difference in that as well, because with the people that I have worked with. Like the people, there are like multiple people, like multiple person, like people with autism in our association, but every single one of them is like different in his own way. As I like mentioned before, as I explained before, like the woman that we work with repeated like 5 times.
Yeah,
that's
actually super interesting. Do you have any other like interesting encounter with people that like it catches your attention, for example, during the day?
Well, I've been observing the difference between people with autism and people with Down syndrome.
Okay,
and that's an interesting observation as well, because even the physical features,
of course,
that's probably the biggest difference that they have between like people who have a person who has autism and person who has Down syndrome, because Down syndrome usually have a lot of physical features of which you can tell that he has like Down syndrome. Like for example, they have like smaller hands that we do. Their like tongue muscles are not that developed. That's why usually they use a lot of orthophonist in English.
What is it again?
Orthophonist. Yeah, it's a professor. Well, yeah, it's a professor that like teaches you how to talk. Like logoped? No. Speech therapist? No. Well,
something like that. I know which one you mean.
Yeah.
I knew it. But yeah. I don't remember the word now. But
whatever. Me neither. But well, I understand the point.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's why they usually write like shortly after birth, they already like start, well, not shortly, I must say, but like when they're like 3 or 4 years old, usually they start working with this kind of like speech therapist mm-hmm. to be able to express themselves because the Down syndrome in itself includes also like the underdevelopment of a tongue, which is in French it's called like hypotomie, which is
I think it's the same thing in English. It's a Latin word, so
which explains that like your muscle, you have muscles, but they're like kind of underdeveloped mm-hmm. because they're like more flexible than for a person who doesn't have a Down syndrome, and then that's why they also work a lot with ergotherapists, psychologists obviously as well. It's interesting. Yeah, to see.
I bet this is interesting. This is actually really interesting work that you have.
Yeah, out there. I'm fucking proud. I'm proud of it, but I'm so blessed to have it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice experience to actually like be next to this, a human beings as we are all,
and to have this experience
with them.
Yeah.
That's super interesting, actually.
Yeah. And they have a well.
But what was the reason that like you thought this is something that you want to do? Like,
is this that's an awesome question, man.
This like a
wow, I have to think about it for a moment, huh? When I finished my high school in Latvia, I wanted to go to study to France, and psychology was one of the options that I was interested in, but it wasn't like the main option that I was interested in. But yeah, it was one of the options, and I was like,
"Can I ask what are the other options?"
There were like more precise subjects like economy, or like something of the business industry, you know,
like marketing.
Yeah. Marketing, advertising. This summer. yeah, but
being Wall Street boy.
Wall Street boy. But but then I kind of during my last high school year, I started reading like some books about psychology.
Okay.
And about how there's a book that's called like I hope that I'm getting like the title right, which is 6 different thinking caps, or yeah,
6 different
or 5 thinking? Different thinking caps. Well, it's
what is it about?
It's about perception that you can have, like looking like how you can change your perception about what you see or what you like what you observe in 5 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember specifically where the 5 different types of seeing something or observing an object in 5 different ways, but it was in the psychological manner. So I read it and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, it's interesting. I must say I'm also been like really interested in understanding how other people thought and what they thought and why they thought about it, you know.
I mean, when you say that, like when you are interested in how other people think,
it kind of means that
like you are interested like how you think as well, because like
how important is the. Is the opinion about me from everybody else as well.
Yeah,
you know?
But the interesting part of this, I don't see... Let me go through this issue that I have in my mind like this. Asking a question.
Let's do it.
What is it about this books? What is it about the self-help books?
Yeah,
that it's a skyrocketing in the world, and like,
oh yeah,
and everybody is trying to be better mm-hmm. in the mind.
Yeah,
what is it about them that it attracts people so much?
The self-development books. Oh, that's a good question.
As a psychologist that you are,
yeah.
Is there something that, for example, that's
attract?
No, I mean, like, do you see a point in like do you see a point for me, for example, to start reading a book that is a self-help book?
I would say that one of the main reasons why people tend to lean on self-development books is that they're kind of lost in their way of living for a bit, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have like specific goal or specific purpose at that moment in their life. So they're maybe just trying to better themselves up, see a different way how they can like develop their like competencies.
If I may interrupt,
yeah,
is if you are like my another question actually arises when you say this.
Yeah.
If you are lost.
Yeah.
Right. You're lost. Imagine you're lost with your goals.
Yeah.
Is this the best idea to go look up somebody else's perception or idea about their goals or about their life and then like attain those perspectives to move forward to?
Well, it certainly doesn't work for everyone, you know. That's also a fact. But I must say that maybe when you're reading a self-help book and you like don't have anything specific going on in your life at that moment, maybe it creates some kind of safety feeling if you read it. Because it shows that other people have been at the same place that you were in right now. If you're not, you know. But yeah, I must say that maybe it's the comparison factor as well that plays a lot. That you can like maybe try to use some other, some other people's way to handling this kind of situation to like find yourself again. Yeah, entre guillemets, and I don't know how to fucking say it in English, but
you're French, dude. you lost your English.
Shit. But that would be, I think, one of the main reasons why a lot of people tend to read self-development books, because they want to. It creates some kind of a safety feeling for them in the way that they think that, well, they see that the other people's approach to the same problem, for example, that would be one of the one of the maybe examples why the industry of self-help books has skyrocketed. But obviously it's our environmental as well, because our society at the moment is like, take example of fucking social media platforms. Mm-hmm. Everything you see is like
how to be better,
fucking wake up in at 4 a.m. Yeah. Go to the gym.
Yeah.
Train
yourself. How to be better.
Yeah.
All the time. You see, that's like a trend.
That's awful. To be
better what?
Yeah. Yeah. And fucking also all these little fitness influencers saying, yeah, 30 second workout for a six pack for summer or whatever, you know, but. But
it's so interesting. This is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, and
what are we going through?
Yeah,
this is absolutely absurd. Like,
and social media is affecting us in every single way possible with all the fucking.
And honestly, I don't think self-help books are different than social media, because like
do you think it was the first step?
it's the first step?
No. Like, do you think it was the first step in this approach of fucking be better and fucking
before social media? Look at the world. Like, if you read a self-help book, they will usually tell you what to do.
That's, yeah. I love that you mention it.
They're like, do this.
Yeah, because usually people don't know what to do.
But listen, what I'm saying is that, like, my point of argument about this stuff is that, like, if you have a problem with something in your life, I don't think the best way to approach it is to look somebody else's approach to that idea. Because, first of all, how do you know that approach is valid? How do you know that approach is based on truth or based on facts or based on something that, like, doesn't bring you more pain? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, for example, imagine you're 20.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're in, like,
I'm 35. No.
You're like 18, you're 20. Like, okay. you're super young. You have this, like, confusion in your mind about stuff, and then, like, somebody writes a book.
Yeah.
You don't know him. You don't know her.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you this ideas about how to solve stuff in your mind.
Yeah.
Right? And then you, like, repeat this ideas about how to solve stuff.
Okay.
In your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
and then this pattern
continues. Repeats itself.
And it never ends. I swear to God, as somebody who went through this, like, who tried to be always better, who tried to, like, read self-help books and, like, you know, do this, do that, like, all this nonsense that you're going through.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever ends. You just, it's actually an ego boost. It's a...
Oh, yeah, obviously, you feel better about yourself.
It's like, when you read this stuff, you're like, huh, I did something good.
Yeah.
You know?
I did something good today.
And the fucking interesting thing is that, like, actually, if you think about it, if you put time alone to do it yourself, you're going to actually arrive at to a point that you can realize what really works for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't have to follow anyone about this.
No. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well,
it's like you know how it works? It's like you are confused.
Yeah.
You have a messy mind.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Imagine you have a messy mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And then you bring some other people ideas to that messy mind.
Yeah.
To fix that messy mind.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's absurd. Yeah. That's, I agree completely on that.
But with that messiness, I don't know if you see my point about this.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
I don't know what you think. Like, I want to know your opinion. I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to go to a monologue about this. I just want to, like, have a conversation about, like, I don't know how you feel. Like, honestly, like, is this something, like, out of order that I'm saying? Or is it?
No. Well, it's accurate in some way, obviously, but I also have can we press pause on this because I have to go to the toilet?
sure. Wait. Are we done?
Did it start?
Yep. You're back.
You sure?
Yeah, you're back.
All right.
You're back, dudes.
Hopefully it's not gonna overwrite.
So no, hopefully not.
The previous audio, but yeah.
So what we were talking about like the self-help books and all this ideas about, like, how to live your life.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can show you what I see as an issue in this.
Okay.
So you have an issue in your mind that goes on, like, constantly, right?
Yeah.
And then it's in your mind, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to solve this with the mind again. Do you see what I mean? Like,
with another people's way to solving it.
Yeah,
that's what
like,
you mean.
It's like if you think about it, if you can see it, we're not really different from each other.
Yeah. Okay.
We human beings, we are the same.
Yeah.
Because we have the same problems, we have the same issues. A superficiality, we are different physically.
Mm-hmm.
But on a deeper level, if you think about it, we have the same problems and same issues.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there is a mind that have a problem, for example, with stress.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, of course, everybody has a problem with stress.
Yeah.
Have we solved this?
The stress problem?
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible to solve it.
We haven't solved it.
Yeah.
But we wrote 1,000 books.
Yeah.
How to solve stress. Did we solve it with those books? Are the people not stressed anymore?
No, but I think stress is a concept that you can't really solve. You can reduce it, but you can't solve it.
Okay. Can you tell me what is stress?
Ooh, stress. Stress is something that like makes you feel uncomfortable about certain situation.
But what is it?
Like, for example, it can be physical stress, like during the gym session, for example. Like stress to your muscles, like growing, whatever.
Yeah, of course. But we were talking about the psyche. What is the stress that happens in the psyche?
I think stress creates itself when you don't have a structure about. When you don't have like structure about what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like clear, game plan, I must say.
Yeah.
Game plan about something that you need to do or want to do. That creates stress, that creates uncertainty, and then if you're a person that likes to overthink more than the others, then it's also like creating more loops, more heightened levels of stress, and maybe that's the reason behind why people like try people buy like self-development books and try
because it's because like it's insolvable.
Yeah,
in the mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's insolvable.
Yeah,
and they buy different self-help books.
Yeah,
and then the self-help books helps them just a little
reduce.
Bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit for some time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that like it happened to me. I'm speaking for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Look, when you read something about a situation like about a stress or whatever.
Yeah.
You feel like you have an idea about stress, like how to solve it, how to manage it and all that. And then like you feel good about it for some time, and then it comes back. It keeps repeating after a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
So what is interesting is that it doesn't really solve anything. And then you go buy another book.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Do you see the patterns that we do?
And then
another book helps you for some time.
Yeah.
And then you feel good again for some time. And then like it repeats again.
Yeah.
So that is
like using different strategies to treat the same problem.
Yeah, but this can go on forever.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Well. Yeah. As you, if you look to it in this kind of perspective, I completely understand why buying self development books is completely useless, because if you don't go through your own individual process of like treating your emotions, treating your stressors, treating your problems in your life.
And what is important is that like, have you ever asked what is stress? Or have you just accepted that the stress exists?
I don't think a lot of people have been asking what is
stress. But what if we ask? What if we make a question to ourselves? What is stress?
I think it's a difficult question to answer.
But look at it. Can you look at stress without the perception of the like without sorry not the perception? Can you look at the stress without looking at it with a different with the perspective of another person, or a perspective of your own past? Do you know what I mean? Do you see what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Well. Okay.
What is stress to you if you look at it without an idea?
That's my type of reaction to actions that have happened in my life during particular periods of time. I don't know if you...
And then you have a stress about it, like, in the moment?
Well, yeah, it depends. It can be at the moment, or you can think about it afterwards and then make yourself all stressed out about things that you think in your mind, you know, that are, well, they're not useless, but they're like, they...
Is stress useful?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Completely.
And what sense is useful? I'm curious now.
Stress, in some way, like adapt you for environment, like
what environment?
Like, for example, can you like imagine? Well, what would be a good example? Well, recently, I had a really great example because my little sister was here in Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I think you're going to love this example. Well, she had to go like 30 to 40 minutes from here to do like training exercises.
Okay.
And she had to take a train to it. She had to take a train and then the bus and then eventually she arrives at the training center.
Okay.
She bought a ticket like in advance. And she bought all the tickets that she needed, but at the end of it, like the train was like late, so it means that she bought a ticket to a train that's gonna be late, so it's gonna make her way to the tennis training station already late because she's gonna miss out the bus.
Yeah,
and then you have to agree that this kind of situation creates certain level of stress, right? Because if you have a time stamp at what you have to be there.
Let's just keep it that way. Actually, tell me why this... can you see why this situation created stress for your sister?
Yeah, because it was an event that created... necessity for alternative, like for different solution, you know.
But if you have this problem,
yeah,
right, you have the problem of like not reaching your
destination and time, right?
Yeah. If you look at the problem itself,
the
solution would arise like immediately. You don't need stress to solve.
Do you think it's like the stress in this case is just an added factor to it?
A stress, how I see it, if you can see it this way or not, like, let me know.
Tell me.
Stress is a reaction to a problem that is insolvable at the moment. That is like something you cannot really do anything about it.
Yeah.
Like...
with you on
stress,
this one.
Stress comes along when you think negatively about something.
Okay.
Like it's time. It's like time. Stress is like about the future usually. Like, right? You're like, I will miss my bus and I will not catch my training session and like I will lose this and I will lose that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And this caused stress at the moment, right? these problems doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
But what causes stress is that, like, you travel through time. You go in the future.
Yeah.
You see consequences of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you create an environment for you that is unsettling.
Okay. Which you would, yeah, okay.
Because you see it negatively and you travel through the time.
Yeah.
Do you also see it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah? Well, that was the thing that I tried to.
But
yeah.
if you see, like, there is this problem.
Mm.
Like you have your bus or you have your train not arrived at that moment that it had to arrive.
Mm.
You have this problem.
Yeah.
What would you do about it? Would you stress about it?
Mm.
Or would you solve it? Do you see? Like, because stress is not necessary for solving this problem. I don't know if you see it or not.
Yeah.
Do you agree or like, I mean, don't say yeah. I mean, like.
No, I'm thinking. Yeah.
Just look at it. Because if you look at it, stress doesn't really help here. Stress just like puts you out of your order. It creates a tension in your mind.
Well, yeah, in this particular case, I understand that the stress could be a negative aspect of it, you know, the situation, because having a solution doesn't necessarily require to have like stress added to it. But
you know,
if you have,
if you, like, let me actually like try to show it to you in a different way, if it's possible. What I'm saying is that if the problem arises, and then the problem itself, if you stay with the problem itself, that you see that it's insolvable in your mind, because it's insolvable in your mind at the moment. You have, like, you cannot like make the train to come at the time.
Yeah, but
that is true.
Yeah, okay. But okay. You can look for a solution.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You can look for a solution because you have this problem at the moment.
Yeah.
But stress doesn't enter to the solution of the situation.
No, but it's just other thing because you have to be like.
But it's a different part. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
It's completely. It's a different compartment of the mind.
Yeah.
It just enters the mind.
Yeah.
In a second like moment, like you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is like, oh. What if this happens in the future?
Yeah.
I don't reach my session.
Yeah.
In training time. Point.
Yeah.
In time. That creates stress.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Not the problem itself. Do we agree with this?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the action. Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, because if you take an example that like, let's say at first, normally what you're gonna try to do when you like when you're late for something, you're gonna try to find a solution, right?
You're not gonna stress. If you of course, if you go mindlessly, you're gonna stress.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to give solution to anything. Just you have to look at it yourself.
Yeah.
Away from stress. I'm just trying to understand stress with you at this moment that you're talking with each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to see it ourselves. That, like, what is it that we do?
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. If you look for a solution, and then if you don't find it right away, then it, like, naturally,
then it becomes stress again.
Yeah, and then it's like adding value to, like, oh shit, well, if it's like, if for example the meeting is really valuable, that's adding even more stress to it, because you're thinking,
but
holy shit, if I'm gonna be late, then what will happen, you know? But yeah, I understand that, like, I understand your perspective that stress can come afterwards, yeah, like after the try to find like the direct solution to a problem. That's true. That's one I agree with. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you don't have to agree with me or disagree with me. You know what I'm saying is that like it's just something that I feel like if you think about it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you think about it, you can actually see how absurd it is that we feel stress. And it's not that our mind does it itself. We do it to ourselves.
But you can also have positive stress. But you do like you
what
have
is
a
positive stress.
You can have positive stress, but you can can't even like notice it. For example,
what is that?
Like for example, positive stress that gives you like something exciting. For example,
that excitement. No, it's stress.
It is some part like kind of positive stress.
Tell me about this positive stress. Like, I don't know if we have time or not.
Yeah,
honestly,
we'll see.
maybe we could actually. Let's go on. Tell me about positive stress, and then after and then this, we can cut it off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for example. Going for a run. Let's take that example.
But that's physically, Tom.
You're thinking about more.
I'm talking about the psyche.
Let's see if I can find an example of positive stress.
Because listen, let me show you like this. Stress is an energy, right?
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
This common sense.
Yeah.
Then, don't you need energy to solve problem, to find a solution.
Yeah.
Then when you waste energy on stress, you wasted energy on stress and you don't have enough energy for solving the problem.
But maybe it's the energy that you need to solve to find a solution.
Like how can you put energy on something and then like solve something else?
Because finding a solution also includes in some way like the stressful feeling, because where does the need of solving like the problem that you have come even like at the beginning?
We just let's look at it again then.
Yeah,
because if you think that stress is a essential factor to solve a problem.
No. I don't think it's an essential factor to solve a problem. But for example, in the what gives you the feeling like the necessity to find the solution to a problem that you have at the moment? For example, if you take this the same example,
you have a problem, you find a solution for it.
No. But what makes you what gives you the need to solve it?
Well,
at the moment,
I have the need to be somewhere.
Yeah,
my car
and
breaks down.
Well, yeah, but what? But like,
and then my car breaks down. I need a solution for this because I need to get somewhere.
Yeah, but
and you find a solution for it.
But usually, but
the stress.
But like
I'm just saying the stress. Sorry for interrupting.
No,
but
no,
I'm
no
just
worries.
I'm just saying stress comes from the negative creation of the future, like negative scenarios that your mind creates in the future.
Okay.
And the traveling in the mind, traveling in the future that you have, like you see scenarios in the future.
What would happen? Okay.
What would have happened? What would have happened? But like, what if this happens?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm saying, is this necessary for finding a solution? That's my question. And I think that could be the end of it for now. Maybe we could come back for the stress next time.
See you later, alligator.
Next podcast probably like could be about stress.
Yeah, let's do that. It was an interesting discussion.
It is an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
And hope to see you soon.
Bye bye.